Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans. And we are back for the 2019-20 NHL and NWHL seasons. And we are doing some slight changes to the podcast. We're not going to be doing constant coverage since, well, we have a website now, so might as well use the website for something. So instead, we're going to be doing more interview-based stuff with the podcast. And what a way to start that than with Annapolis, Maryland native Sam Walther of the Metropolitan Riveters. Sam, welcome to TXHT. Thanks for taking some time. I know you're hiding in the corner of a Panera Bread right now.
No, thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? I said you're from Annapolis, so you could, you know, let us know what it was like growing up watching Caps, obviously, and how you got into playing hockey.
Yeah, so from Annapolis, I went to Crofton Elementary, skated at Piney Orchard. That's where I learned to skate. But I started playing kind of street hockey first. Actually, Ken Klee, who used to be a defenseman for the Caps, was one of my next door neighbors, and his son was my age, always outside shooting pucks, you know, on the net after school, and needed a goalie. So I just kind of started standing in front of them, and it kind of just started out as, you know, a game we would play after school, but then it happened every single day. We were out there for hours till the sun went down. Parents could never get us in the house. And Ken Klee actually convinced my parents to get me on the ice for the first time, try skating, actually go to, you know, initiation, hockey lessons. And I went on as a player at first for maybe a couple weeks, and then kind of goalie started right after that. I mean, I've naturally always been a goalie.
So essentially you had a 2-week forward career and a lifetime and a lifetime goalie career.
Something like that. Yeah. I never actually taken skating lessons at all. It was kind of right into hockey, you know, basic hockey drills. And I mean, I don't remember any practices where I was a forward, but I know that I definitely started without goalie pads on at some point, maybe for a couple weeks.
Just a couple. So for you, obviously growing up in Annapolis, as you mentioned, Ken Klee, were there any other like Capitals players, kids that you played with?
Yeah, there were definitely a few. It's actually really cool. So I played with Nick Bondra, obviously Peter Bondra being his dad. He was huge all-star. I remember him shooting on me during like mites and squirts practices, obviously taking it pretty easy. But, you know, looking back, it's still pretty cool. Bondra would be out there. Sylvain Côté, not many people remember that name, but his kid played youth hockey with me. And then also, now it's really cool, the Nylanders. I played with Will and Alex at Team Maryland before they went back to – so their dad, Michael Nylander, played for the Caps. The kids played for Team Maryland with me, and then he went to Chicago. So then they ended up moving, but now it's really cool to see them, you know, doing – being – young studs in the NHL. So that's really cool. Actually, Joe Snively is now a Caps rookie, and he played for the Washington Little Caps when I played for Team Maryland. So it's been cool kind of growing up, and now there's some of the guys I played with are just starting their NHL careers.
And you're essentially also just starting your NWHL career. But before we get to the NWHL, where did you play in college, and what was that experience like for you?
I went to a small Division III school, Hamilton College. It's an SCAC. So I thought I wanted to play hockey and lacrosse, and that was a big factor as to why I picked Hamilton, but it was also the best academic school I could get into. I didn't end up playing lacrosse just because of some knee injuries, wanted to kind of be cautious with that for hockey, but I had a hard time adjusting my first year just academically, just because the NESCACs are incredibly hard schools. But I love my teammates. Being at a small school, you would walk by your teammates all the time, always have lunch. We had 5 o'clock dinner every day. It was awesome. It's what you want out of every kind of college experience. I still talk to my college teammates all the time, every day. And I think for me, the best thing that came out of picking a D3 instead of maybe a bigger D1 school is that I got to play starting my freshman year. I wasn't on the bench for 2 years, 3 years. I was able to play and adjust quickly to the speed and actually develop throughout my 4 years because I had coaches that had confidence in me and trusted me right off the bat.
Right. And one thing is that when you're with Hamilton, I'm pulling up a photo that you sent me, which the people can look at in the little slideshow that we have on the page for you, is that you're actually a record holder at Hamilton Hockey. Single season, you had a .960 save percentage with 10 shutouts and a 1.08 goals against average. And your career, you had a .948 save percentage with 26 shutouts and a 1.40 goals against average. What's it mean to you to be able to hold records like that at a college?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I mean, it definitely meant that I was getting a lot of shots. I think at the end of the day, what it meant is that I was given a chance to be competitive, and I am competitive, and I would prefer to have, you know, a ton of shots, 50 shots a game, than have a team that's all offense and I'm never seeing any action. But I think, and I don't know, it sounds probably cliche, but as much as that was all awesome, I think my senior year, talking to my coaches, I was actually in an academic All-American my senior year, and that was the biggest accomplishment for me, is that even on top of everything, as hard as Hamilton was, like, my freshman year I had to drop classes, I just couldn't do it, and by my senior year I was an academic All-American at one of the hardest schools in the country on top of everything that was happening on the ice. So that, I don't know, maybe that's, I'm just in a NESCAC mindset now where school's everything, but it was really cool just for me to look back on that progress.
Nice. Now, you graduated in 2018.
Yep.
Which then led you to the opportunity to go to the NWHL. You had actually signed with the Connecticut Whale. And this is actually where you changed your number from number 30 to number 70, but we'll get to that part a little bit later because we got stories to tell you signed with the Whale. You're one of two goaltenders at that time, but then going into the beginning, right before the season started, the Whale signed Miri Rassinen. Now, going into that, before she was signed, what was the original plan for you going in?
Yeah, I mean, when I signed, I didn't really know where I sat in the lineup, which was fine. I was just, like, even with the Riveters, I'm just happy to be part of the league, and I really do see it as an honor to be a part of the league. But I wasn't really sure. I knew there was a returning goalie, but then Miri signed, and then we signed another Maria from Russia. So then it got a little hazy where everyone stood because none of us knew where we were at. So we kind of dwindled from 2 to 3 to 4 down to 3. And it was really confusing for all of us. And as a goalie, you know, only one of you's in net at a time. And it was kind of just hard to feel appreciated when none of us knew where we were.
Right. And one thing I do note, and one of our key writers for our NWHL cover, Shaggy, he is a Connecticut Whale fan. So he was saying he's heartbroken. He's got to root against you now because you signed with the Riveters. But we know that Miri Rassinen essentially became like the number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maria Sorkina, she was actually traded to the Riveters.
Yeah.
And then near the end of the season, you actually made a decision to leave the team. Do you want to talk about that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, nothing is hard feelings, at least on my side, with the Whale, with the league at all. Obviously, I'm back in the league. I love being part of it. I think at the end of the season when I was coaching, I found myself a little bit more committed to the team I was coaching than I thought I would be. When I graduated college, I didn't think coaching was what I wanted to do, and I ended up loving it. So when things got hard with the Whale, not really understanding what my role was, I fell back onto my team at Nichols and really just, you know, committed to them, and I wanted to be there for them as much as I could because I felt like I had a place there and I felt like I was making an impact there. And that was kind of where that decision came from, is that, you know, I wasn't sure if I really had a role on the Whale, and I just wanted to be able to give everything to my Nichols team that I could at the end of the season and get, you know, take some stress off of my shoulders at the same time.
Right. Now, this off season, you signed with the Metropolitan Riveters for the 2019-20 season. What was a factor in you wanting to sign with the Riveters over possibly going back to the Whale or to a different team?
Yeah, I mean, so I stepped back from the league at the end, towards the end of the year. Off season came around, and you know, I had been talking to my family, my friends, my fiance, just really not sure where my head was at, if I wanted to try, if I was just going to move on, really focus on my career. And for a while, up until July, that was the decision, that I was going to focus on finishing my master's and coaching and finding my next step. And I guess that was kind of the decision up until June, actually. And then I was on vacation and people started signing, and I don't want to say I was jealous, but a little bit was, because I felt like I was missing out, because I still felt deep down that I wanted to be a part of it and, you know, get to say that I was a part of NWHL and actually have a chance to be an impact player and have a significant role on a team. I felt like I didn't get a chance to feel like I was, you know, lived a full season in WHL. So I still kind of wanted that. So I called Haley Moore, when I was on vacation, and said, you know, with the boycott happening and everything, I support this league. I want to be a part of it. I will, like, live and breathe it. And if there's anything, you know, you can do to help me out, if you know of anyone who needs a goalie, let me know. She sent me Boston's contact info. They had goalies. And then actually, I got an Instagram message from Mandy from Buffalo asking if I was interested. We kind of tried to figure out how that commute would work. It seemed really difficult. And then after talking to Mandy, I was kind of, again, like, I think it's too much. I think I have to focus on my career and move on. A couple weeks later, I changed my mind again, and just like, I couldn't move on from it. So,
once a competitor, always a competitor.
I know. So I randomly just like threw my info back out there again in the free agent list. And Kate reached out right away from the Riveters asking if I'd be interested in playing for them. And we made the commute work. We had, you know, the communication has been great about my commitment between Nichols school and the Riveters. And that's really all I wanted. So far it's worked out really well.
Now, one thing, because it's been coming out that apparently Kate, the general manager of the Riveters, she has been very instrumental in helping out the players a lot.
Absolutely.
She was able to find a place for Bobo Cartanbe. Yep. When she signed. Has she helped you with, like, you and any other players with, like, living quarters and stuff like that? To make it work?
Absolutely. I couldn't make this work without some of the things she's done. So she actually, Colleen Murphy is commuting from North Carolina. So basically Murph and I chatted. We figured out the weekends that we're both staying for a few nights at a time in the New Jersey area. And Kate's mom actually has a farmhouse with a spare bedroom that Murph and I can stay for free on the weekends, which is huge because obviously hotel costs would, you know, be crazy throughout the season. So Kate literally found, you know, these out-of-town players a space to stay for free on the weekends.
Yeah, and I can say right now, because I believe you got you ladies practice in Morristown, New Jersey. I'm in Morristown once a year for a convention, and it's not cheap there. It's
very doesn't seem cheap.
It's very expensive there, but yeah, they have a really great sushi place there. So
it seems like it is a nice area, and I actually love the practice room we're at. I think it's pretty. It's a great campus. We're at Montclair State. It's an awesome area, so I like it a lot. But having that place to stay takes a lot of stress off my shoulders, that I can get down there for the weekend, practice, train, relax, and, you know, go to our games.
Right. So let's do a little bit of Caps talk, because I know you're a huge Caps fan.
Yes.
So why don't you tell, obviously you played with like Peter Bondra, Sylvain Côté, Ken Klee's kids, and Michael Nylander's kids. When did you actually become a hockey/Capitals fan?
I think right when I started playing street hockey with, you know, Garrett and Mason Klee is when my parents started really following the Caps. You know, I would go to Garrett and Mason's birthday parties, and it would be the entire Caps roster in their house for you know, this five-year-old's birthday party. And I wouldn't know who these men were, but my parents did, and they would start following the Caps really heavily. And then I think when I, you know, started playing probably peewees and high school is when, you know, you understand the game more, so you actually start following the players and their tendencies and all of that. So I think really when I got a little older and actually could understand the game for myself instead of just getting in front of the puck is when I really started following them more.
All right. And do you have like a year frame just to give people?
Oh God.
I mean, I know for me, I carbon date myself. So
I don't even know like what year it was when I math is not my thing. Well, I went to high school in 2010, so is that let's go with that. 2010 sounds like a good.
That's a good time.
Good rest.
It's not an accurate time, but it's yeah. we'll go with it.
Maybe 2008. I don't know. Six.
We're just going backwards now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my story is pretty simple. 88, 89, when I was 2 years old.
There you go.
I'm old and ancient. It's okay.
Well, I don't have much memory. I like can't. Everything's a blur, so I don't know.
I mean, you do so much. I mean, it's understandable. But
pucks to the head.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
But when for you, and we kind of alluded to this, you wore number 30 at Hamilton. Mm-hmm. But you wear number 70. The moment you get the sign with the Connecticut Whale, and you're wearing the number 70 again this season. So obviously you do this as an homage to Braden Holtby. Mm-hmm. What is it about Braden Holtby that made you want to wear the number 70 in his honor?
So here's the thing. Like I've never been stuck on any one number. I've never worn one number throughout length of my career. When I was growing up, I wore 37 because Kolzig was a big Caps, you know, stud. He was awesome. And then for some weird, bizarre reason, I became a big Mika Kiprusoff fan out of Calgary. Who knows how? But
he is a good goaltender, though.
Yeah, he is. And I wore 34 for a couple seasons. And then I went to Pittsburgh and I wore 40. Like, I just was all over, like, I've been all over the place with numbers, but, you know, Holtby was the backbone to the Caps the last few seasons when they, you know, were their most competitive in my mind. He's also a little bit undersized compared to some other goalies and really just relies on complete athleticism and competing competitiveness. And that's something I think at the end of the day, like, I could forget all of my technique and just dive for a puck if that's what it takes. So I think I, like, that's how I want to play and how I try to play. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny. I remember I was at work over the summer and my coach asked me what number I wanted to be. And I texted my parents kind of as a joke, like, should I wear 70 for Halpy? And they were like, yeah, do it. So then I ended up doing it.
And we know that you tried getting a jersey the Holpe last season.
Yes.
When you're with the Whale. Were you successful in that?
No, but I still am getting retweets on it even today. So, like, every once in a while, it kind of I guess this is the 1 year anniversary of when I actually tweeted that out. Someone tweeted that at me today.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And we're doing the interview on the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah. So last year, I guess on September 20th, I thought it was kind of just funny. I thought I'd maybe get like 10 likes. It wouldn't really be a big deal. But then random people actually thought it would be cool if he bought it, which I still think would be cool. It'd be great to have any support of, you know, the players in the league.
So it's interesting that you bring that up. Braden Holpe's Twitter, he hasn't done anything with it since 2017. So everyone who's tweeting Braden Holpe, it's going nowhere.
Yeah, he doesn't see it for sure.
Yeah, he's not seeing
it. But I did try to tweet at Brandy.
So
just to see if that got any more recognition.
Yeah, but this year, and actually ironically, just last night during midnight, they put up your shirt on the NWHL shop. So your jersey is now up as a Riveter now. And hold on, let me grab my phone real quick. Hop on the interwebs. People, I'm the only person who does this on podcast because I have no life. Hashtag forever alone. But so I have in my cart a medium and a large. Because, well, I wear medium, and I don't know what size Braden – and I don't know what size Braden Holpe wears. But – so I just hit purchase because all my information was already in there. So, hey, Braden, I know you're not going to listen to this, but you have a jersey on the way to my place, and I hope to meet you at a practice to give it to you. And you can't tell, but I'm doing a thumbs up right here.
No, I think it, even, like, for me, it'd be cool, but also just to see any NHL player supporting the Rivs in the league would be awesome.
Yeah, I know, like, in the inaugural season, the Capitals were playing up in Buffalo, and they came up a day early, and the Buttes were actually playing. So Tom Wilson, Andre Burakovsky, and I think one other were actually watching the Buttes game. From the crowd, from the stands.
That's a good idea. Maybe I should tweet at Brandon's teammates. They'll see it and let them know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll try that.
Yeah, try hitting up like Wilson or something. He might.
I'll try.
He tweets. Maybe Instagram's the way to go.
True.
So, but what does it for you? And I'm asking this more general to you. Obviously, we have the photo of you wearing Holpe's jersey, and obviously you said how cool it would be to see Holpe wearing yours. How does it feel just to have your own jersey and jersey available for other people to wear? Like, outside of family, because we always know that, like, family members usually get them all the time, but for regular fans now to be able to do it.
No, it's definitely really cool. I actually, so there's a girl, she's a young goalie out of Florida who I signed hats for. Her dad just sent me pictures as we were, talking of her opening a box that was my gear from last year. I sent her my entire set of gear from last year. So talk about, you know, a shirt and now a full set of gear. It's just really cool to actually have people that look up to you and want to know how you got where you are and what the league means. I think that's actually been the most rewarding part, even, you know, over top of playing time, anything like that. The best part is signing the autographs and having people actually want to chat with you and know you and get to know them.
Yeah, I because I've been, this is now obviously the fifth season for the NWHL. We've been following for the ups and the downs. For you, what is the number one thing that you're most excited for this season with the NWHL besides playing time?
Oh, well, I think the outdoor game is really cool. But I also, that's just like the first thing that popped in my head because I've been talking about it all week, how cool it is to have an outdoor game. But I think just, you know, having all of these new players in the league has been really cool to see. You know, there's a lot of turnover this year, but they're so talented, even just from being on, you know, ice for my practices. I think the competitiveness is still going to be so high and the energy is going to be so high on the ice. That's what I'm excited to just see.
Yeah. And definitely, with everything that's going on with the influx of new faces coming in, new stars are to be made.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's so cool to watch. And even just watch players grow into, you know, leaders on their teams.
And then the other big thing is Twitch.
Yes.
So what were your thoughts when that was announced?
So I'll be honest, I like am so oblivious to everything and didn't know what Twitch was. I don't know how to use Fire Stick. I don't know like even what that means. Like, what is a Fire Stick? I don't know. But so I didn't understand it at first, so I had to look into it. I actually had to reach out to Cassie, the Wales new goalie. But I think it's awesome. It's an awesome platform where every game is, you know, going to be streamed. And we heard last night that some of the games are going to have a lot higher quality with, you know, multiple camera angles, which is really cool, I think, than rather just the one overhead following the puck. I think it just gives, you know, more marketing power to what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I could say from somebody who uses Twitch, I have two channels myself, plus I appear on another one pretty regularly. It's really cool to like be able to communicate with the with people while you're playing, like me, for me, playing video games, or like yesterday when I was doing Awesome Mania. You know, we're doing Awesome Mania, we're live on Twitch, and we're letting people in a way dictate our episode.
Yeah.
You know, of what we're doing. And obviously you won't be having the fans while watching the game in the chat, you know, like, oh, I think this should happen. And like, well, that's not going to happen. It's a live actual hockey game being played at that time. But have you heard or are you excited about any other possibilities outside of games being played on Twitch or airing on Twitch to having like other shows and programming being put up on Twitch that you could potentially be a part of?
I haven't. I'm not sure of anything yet, but I know that our GM and coaches have said that there's things to come. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be more coverage, absolutely, especially with Aspire running the ticket sales. There's just a lot of different kind of dynamics that are coming into play this year with marketing and, you know, actually, you know, streaming the games, where I think there's going to be more coverage all around from a lot of different angles. There's social media coordinators, marketing coordinators, all of that. I don't know if marketing coordinator is the actual name, but there's people that are now actually focused on, you know, community outreach, marketing, sales, everything in that aspect.
Yeah. And also you brought up community outreach and stuff like that. Yes. We do want to do a quick shout out to our good friend, Nathaniel Oliver. He was actually just
announced. That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah. He was just announced today as the community coordinator of the Buffalo Buttes, along with being the Buffalo Buttes beat writer.
I just saw that. That's who I had in mind. I think that's awesome. I think it's something that every team should utilize and have.
Yeah, and of course, Nate will be back on the show soonish to do our official NWHL 2019-20 preview. We gotta have our NWHL wizard on the show. So
he's great.
But for you. We're coming near the end because I can tell that your corner is being invaded.
It's getting louder, I know.
Yeah. What is something that you want to tell the Metropolitan Riveter fans, the NWHL fans? What should they look out for this season, not just from you, but from the Riveters?
I think this group is special. We barely know each other, but and we know that. We know it's a new group, but it's already been stated that this is a team, this is one unit, and we have one goal. And, you know, we want to do a lot this season. I think it's an awesome group.
And you got a promo you want to cut for Braden Holtby?
A promo? Like what?
Like you want it, like a shout out. Sorry, I'm using wrestling terms now. You know, I'm thinking about the podcast I did yesterday. But what do you got to say to Braden about getting your shirt?
It's been a year, and this man has ghosted me.
Stop ghosting her, Braden.
So, you know, maybe I'll come to more than one Caps game this year if someone buys my shirt.
Well, I ordered two.
Yes, I mean.
And
I think it would mean a lot to not just me. I think it would actually mean a lot to many people involved in the league, especially right now.
So that's definitely great. And also, so just to let everyone know, when you do purchase any of the player jerseys or jerseys, the players will receive 15% of revenue from all apparel sold with their name on it. So for instance, with Walter's jerseys, which we do have a link on as part of our interview here. You can go there, buy Walter's jersey, buy her jersey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, and rep it at some Caps games, rep it at some Devils games, you know.
Absolutely.
Rep it everywhere you go.
Yes, we definitely all appreciate it, seeing our apparel out there.
So, with that, Walter, we usually end these by asking the people, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Instagram, Sam's_Grams70, and I'm also on Twitter. I think it's Sam Walter 40, maybe.
It's something.
I don't know my own social media handles. It's definitely Sam_Walter 40.
Okay. Well, we'll tag you just to make sure.
Yeah, I think that's the best option.
Yeah, we'll tag you just to make sure. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can watch all games of the NWHL on Twitch at twitch.tv/NWHL. All you have to do, you don't even have to have an account. All you just got to do is go on and just make sure you have that link saved. And if you do have an account, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, so you get notified every time they go live with games. And ladies and gentlemen, you can also catch everything of our NWHL coverage at txhthockey.com/NWHL. We'll be covering every game this season, and we may also be at the outdoor game in Buffalo. We're working on it. So ladies and gentlemen, with that, Sam, thank you so much for coming on. And until next time, everybody, we will see you on the ice.